Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Let's bring in Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette talking some Packers.
Do you want to know what's going on at 1265 Lombardi Avenue? What's next for the Pack? Let's check in with our green and gold insider, Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Brought to you by Thomas Morola Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and other family law needs. Go with experience. Go with Thomas Morola. Online at MorolaLaw.net or call 414-327-5800.
Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette now joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. And, Ryan, I don't think you could have asked for a much better start from Aaron Rodgers than what you got. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it earlier today. Not since week 9 of 2010 has Aaron Rodgers played this well ratings-wise, according to Pro Football Focus. What a start, huh?
It's interesting you say that year, isn't it? Since in camp, Aaron Rodgers said that he was looking at some 2010 film, and he noticed basically a flaw in his game, and he went back and to practice and went about correcting that flaw. He wouldn't give what that was, but he was just so crisp. The thing that I guess stood out to me was how quickly he got rid of the football, which is just something we have not seen these past couple years, is the decisiveness. And it many times the past couple years has kind of devolved into a schoolyard kind of backlot football with just him holding the ball and trying to find a big play. It was so quick hitting in the passing game. It was catch shotgun snap, get rid of it, read your progressions. If it's not there, go to the flat with the running back on the check down. And when that happens, you see what happens. I mean, it was a crisp operation in the passing game, and he's pretty special when he's on time.
Now we got to talk a little bit, at least, about the injuries and where this team is now. I mean, obviously, you lose Lane Taylor for the remainder of the season, which is just tough because he worked so hard to come back, I guess the best way to put it, for him not to be able to finish this season or be injured at all, it really kind of sucks. But between him and Kenny Clark, which is the more devastating injury?
Depends on how long Kenny Clark is out. If he comes back, then we'll just have to wait and see. But, I mean, his impact on the defensive front is more significant. He's getting paid for that $70 million than the impact that any guard really is going to have. So, you know, for Lane Taylor being out for the rest of the season, it's the personal part of it. You know, he as you said, he worked his way back, and he was really at the top of his game. He probably had just his best camp. It was only 3 weeks, but he had his best camp going into this season. Had never played better than what he played going into this season. And to be gone now for the entire year is just a tough blow for him. I do think that if the Packers had, you know, they don't want any injuries, but they've got much more interior depth than they have tackle depth. They've got Lucas Patrick. They extended 2 years last year specifically because they believe he's a starting caliber depth guard. He's got a shoulder, so we'll have to see how he is this week. But if he comes back in time, he can be a suitable replacement. John Runyon, the rookie, he played really well for a guy that didn't always look all that good in camp. Looked like his head was swimming a little bit in camp, and he came in and he only got about 15 snaps, but he played really solid for those 15 snaps. I think that the end of the day, with the offensive line, it's going to be a matter of how does this affect right tackle. Rick Wagner was really looking to be a backup early in the season, at least. Now he might be the starting right tackle. Billy Turner, when does he come back? Is he going to be the right guard, or is he going to be the right tackle? Those are the questions that now need to be answered.
So as they start to shuffle these guys around, the one thing that Matt LaFleur was very complimentary of, and rightfully so, was the fact that they moved guys around. Elkin Jenkins goes out, plays tackle, moves back in. You've got guys like Runyon coming in. And Aaron Rodgers pretty much remained clean. He was only hurried a couple of times in that ball game. How impressed were you with all the shifting going on the offensive line with Lucas Patrick going down and obviously Lane Taylor and then moving guys around? How impressed were you with the offensive line and the way they held up against a pretty good defensive front?
Stunning, really. I mean, that he was clean. A few pressures here and there, but he wasn't sacked. And, you know, it's a caveat, right, because Danielle Hunter was not on the field, and that makes a big difference. Ngakoue is new. He literally just arrived on the Vikings defense, so he's going to be a different player in that system by the time they meet midway through the season than he was week one. With that said, about the worst case scenario that could have happened, short of David Bakhtiari getting injured, is what happened. I mean, they had so many musical chairs up front, and for them to be able to weather all that and keep Aaron Rodgers clean and allow him the time to do what he does, it was very impressive.
Now the defensive front. We talked a little bit about Kenny Clark. Do we know the extent of that groin injury, or have they said anything to you about how long he is going to be out?
No, they have not. It's a groin injury. Obviously, he walked to the locker room, which was the positive thing. We'll just have to see. We'll get an indication tomorrow if he's at practice or not. Thursday is going to be the big day because they're in pads on Thursday. We'll have to see how it kind of develops throughout the week.
What's the concern level for the defense when you look at what Minnesota did to them specifically in the fourth quarter? The opening drive, okay, they went down a little bit too easy to score, and you thought, uh-oh, here we go. And then after that, they really seemed to make a few adjustments, get a couple of big plays. Obviously, Jair Alexander had a big game. But late in the ball game, when you really needed – all you needed the defense to do was just stop them, put a dagger in them, and end it, and they couldn't do it.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, they were obviously in prevent defense at that time. And as Matt LaFleur said, I mean, you don't want to give up the big play, and he understands that. But you can't allow chunk after chunk after chunk either. And you gotta at least make them create some time on the clock and you know, have to work for it. And they really didn't in the fourth quarter. All in all, it's one sample size, so it could still go either way. But I tend to lean toward more the defense was shut down when this game was in question. After that opening drive touchdown, it three and outs, the safety, turnovers. The offense, for all it did well, it scored 43 points. It was 0 for 3 in its first red zone trips. It took the offense time to get untracked and to find its footing, and it was allowed that time because of what the defense did after that opening drive touchdown, particularly in the second quarter. That, to me, was more relevant just because that wasn't garbage time, right? I mean, it was back and forth, and the Packers had the game pretty well in hand in the fourth quarter, pretty much the entire way. The critical time in this game was that second quarter when the Packers seized control, and it was in large part because of what the defense did. So I think all in all, there was still a lot for the defense to hang its hat on, even though it did give up 34 points, just because of what it did in the critical moments.
I like the makeup of the offense and the way they use the run game. Four or five different running backs. They did it in different fashion. They did wheel routes. They did jet sweeps. All kinds of different things, both passing and the offense. Still, they're going to rely on the passing game, but how impressed were you with the play calling of Matt LaFleur?
This was Matt LaFleur's offense as he would ideally prefer it, I think. You know, it was so much horizontal movement. It almost looked like a college offense with all the horizontal movement, especially early in the game. And that later set up the vertical downfield shots that you saw starting with late second quarter and into the second half. But it got that Vikings defense chasing sideline to sideline the entire time. I mean, it really tired out that Vikings defense. And then there's things that they're able to do with the versatility. With Josiah DeGuara, you see how they plan to use him now. The really interesting thing with him is with him on the field, just by motioning him to the slot or to inline or to the backfield, they can transition from a 21 two running back look to a 12 two tight end look in the same play without the Vikings having the opportunity to substitute personnel and match the look that the Packers offense is presenting. Same thing with Tyler Irvin. I mean, he's a running back and a receiver. So they can go from an 11 to a 21 with him, depending on where he lines up on the field. It really dictates matchups. The last part of that, I mean, Alan Lazard, he was used as much as a running back early as he was a receiver late. It's just you can see kind of Matt LaFleur's vision for how to use the diversity of the skill set that he has on offense. He wants guys that are multiple. You talk about multiple on defense. He wants guys that are multiple and can do multiple things. And that's what he's got, and he used it rather well.
Good stuff, and we will talk later in the week. But a good way to get off to the first win of the season. Now Detroit comes to call, and we'll talk more about that later. Okay, Ryan, appreciate it, pal.
Take care, Bill.
Talk to you soon. There you go. Ryan Wood of the Green Bay Press Gazette, brought to you by Thomas Morello Law Offices. Divorce, child custody, and any other family law needs. Got to go with the experience. Go with the personal service. Get somebody who's been doing it a while. That's Thomas Morello. Online at MorolaLaw.net. That's MorolaLaw.net. Or call them, 414-327-5800. That's 414-327-5800. That is Thomas Morello Law Offices. He joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been doing it. Call them, 844-PRIDE. Go to SchneiderJobs.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.